Good evening tonight. Welcome to our services. I see some visitors in the audience, and we definitely appreciate your presence, and we welcome you back at any and every opportunity to be with us here at O'Neill. What if the song that we just sang, Why Keep Jesus Waiting, what if that was your last invitation? What if that was your last opportunity to make your life right? What if that was your last chance to confess your sins? What if that was the last chance to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if? This life is definitely one that's not certain, but His life is. And if we are in Him, then our life is certain too. I can't help but to think of the song, of My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Because my hope is built on nothing less. We can talk about that and we can read that song and listen to the words of that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Tonight I want to preach to you on stirring up remembrance. Peter knew the importance of hope. Peter knew the importance of the solid rock. Peter knew the importance of remembering Jesus during trials, during disappointments, even in his own disappointments. Not only did he remember Jesus, he wanted others also to remember too. That's why we can look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at reading verse 12 and verse 13 that wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, he says. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle that I to stir you of putting you in remembrance. He wants to put us into remembrance. He doesn't want to put these things off. And the NIV version reads this way. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, and you're firmly established in the truth you now have. He says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. He wants them to remember something. He wants them to keep something in their memory, even though they know it. He wants them to remember that. When we look and we go back, and these are things, and he's saying, you've got to remember these things. This is something that you've got to remember. Peter, what is it you want us to remember? Well, when I look in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I go back a few verses, and I look in verse 3, it says, according to His divine power hath He given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. There's some things that He wants us to remember. What is it that you want us to remember about those verses, Peter? What are those things that you're trying to stir up their memory? You see, He wants them to remember that Jesus gave us all things unto life and godliness. That Jesus, He has given us these exceeding great and these precious promises. That we are able to escape corruption from this world. That's what He's telling us in these verses. He's given us all these things in the life and godliness. He's given us these great and precious promises. We're able to escape the corruption that is in this world. And we live in a world that is corrupt. And we live in a world that needs to be that we need to get out of that world. We must remember this. You must keep this in your memory, he says. Going on in verse 5, he goes on and he says, but giving all diligence, he says. You give all diligence. Whatever you're doing, You add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. What do you want us to remember? What do you want us to do? He goes on, he says, he continues there in verse 8 and verse 9. And he says, if these things are in you, what things? If faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, if those things are in you, what's going to happen? He says that it's going to make you so that you're not barren. You're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't have these things, if you don't have faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, and if you don't have brotherly kindness, and if you don't have charity, he says you're blind. And you can't even see afar off. You've forgotten. You've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. No wonder he's telling them, I want to stir your minds to remembrance. I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Remember what? I want you to remember how to be fruitful. I want you to remember how to be an effective Christian. I want you to remember how to be a productive Christian. I want you to remember that you were cleansed. I want you to remember that those sins that you were once a part of, those things have been cleansed. Those things have been purged. They're gone. They're over. He tells them, you've got to remember this. I'm going to stir your minds up into remembrance, he says. He goes on and he talks in verse 10 and 11. He goes on and he says, but rather, brethren, give diligence, again, to make your calling and your election sure. Just like the 20 brethren who did this morning. Just like they made their calling and election sure. What is he saying? I'm going to stir you up. I want you to remember this. Remember what he said. Even though you know it, even though you're already established in the truth, I want to always stir up your mind. I want to always call these things to remembrance. I want you to make your calling and your election sure. If you do these things, he says, you're never going to fall. He says, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that. What's he saying? You make your calling and election sure, and when you do, the entrance, it's going to be in abundance. He wants them to remember that you are God's chosen people. You're His, and He is yours. And when you are His, imagine that great abundance, that great welcome home that we're going to have when we're in Him, when we are His. What is He saying? You remember this. Don't you forget it. You remember, as we in my last sermon last month, you remember who you are. You're a Christian. You're His. There's so many blessings that you have that are in His. Well, Peter, why? Why do we need to know these things? Why is it that we need to know this? These things that you're wanting us to call to remembrance, why do we need to know these things? Well, let's look again at the verse we started with. He says, I'm going to always remind you of these things. I'm going to remind you of these things, even though you know them, and even though you're firmly established in the truth, I'm going to keep these things, refresh your memory, as long as I'm in this body. I want you to remember. Because what does he say? Look at verse 14. Knowing that shortly, I'm going to have to put off my tabernacle. I'm not going to be with you, he says. Moreover, I endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I want you to remember right now, because when I'm gone, I want you to still be able to remember. When we die, what is it that we want our kids to remember? What is it that we want our brothers and sisters to remember? What is it that we want God to remember? When we're thinking about what we want to put into remembrance, we want to stir our minds up. We want, and hopefully we want them to remember that we are faithful and that we're faithful to the very end. What do we want them to remember about the church? We want them to remember that the church, that the house of God, that it is the church of the living God. We don't serve someone who is dead. As we talked in the little kids' class about Gideon and him tearing down that altar, the idol to Baal. If Baal would have been the true God, his daddy told him that, hey, he would have defended himself. But he didn't. We serve a God who is living. This is His house. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. And this pillar and this ground of truth is competing today with the pollutions of this world. It is competing with sin. It is competing with the temptations. The church is competing with selfishness. The church is competing with a lack of concern for the truth. The church is competing with the lack of love for the truth. The wrong priorities. Church is competing with wrong hearts. Where is my heart? Where is your heart? What's the purpose behind the actions that we do? You see, all these things in this list, they're simply Satan's devices. They're his devices to tear down the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should be able to take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. We can't forget him either. We have to remember what he does. And as school is approaching, I know some of the teachers definitely, and kids probably don't want me saying that word, but as school is approaching, there's going to be other things that's going to try to compete with the church. There's going to be concerts. There's going to be even motivational messages that have little scripture that are going to compete with the church. There's going to be people that are going to be offering free food to come if you're competing with the church. There's going to be movie nights. There's going to be ball games. There's going to be work. There's going to be extracurricular activities. There's going to be homework that's going to compete with the church. There's going to be even early bedtimes that people want to get their kids in bed early. That's going to compete with the church. Stir our minds up to remembrance of who we serve. You know, when Jesus, when he went to the cross, he knew what he was going to have to endure. He didn't say, hold on just a minute, this is going to hurt. He did it because he loved us. Someone has said, we just sit here. Well, what are these other places? Maybe they give all these extra, they do all these other things. And they have other things that they present, and they have other things that try to get people motivated. Some people say, we just sit here. Is that what we're doing? Right now, are you just sitting here? And if so, if you're just sitting here, is that worshiping in spirit and in truth? Are you thinking about the passages that I'm talking about? Are you thinking and reflecting about your own life? Thinking about other brothers and sisters who your heart breaks for? Are you thinking about family members that your heart breaks for? Or are you thinking about God? Are you thinking about what He has done for each and every one of us here? You know, in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And after talking with him, she decides that he is a prophet. She tells him, you know, my fathers worship here at this mountain, but you say that you should worship in Jerusalem. Jesus responds to her here in verse 22. He says, you worship, and you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He goes on and he tells her, he says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Here we are tonight worshiping Him. Are we doing it in spirit and in truth? Because what does Jesus say? For the Father seeks such to worship Him. That's who God wants to worship Him, is those who are worshiping in spirit and in truth. When we're singing songs, are you singing those songs? Are you thinking about the words of those songs? You see, because God is a spirit, and those that worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We don't need anything new to stir us up spiritually. We need the gospel. We need truth. And we need to do so. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You must remember this. Going on in that epistle, in chapter 3, verse 1, starting in verse 1, Peter says, "Now I write to you, in both of those, I wrote to you, to stir up your minds, by your pure minds, by way of remembrance." I want you to remember that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. He wants them to go back. He wants them to think about what the prophets have said. Think about where your mind needs to be. Think about, Peter says, and of the commandments of us, of the apostles, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The prophets, they prophesied. We're with Jesus. We taught with Jesus. We're telling you the things that Jesus wants you to know. He says, but you know this too. There's going to be scoff. There's going to be people that scoff, that laugh, that mock the church. There are going to be people that laugh at your belief. There are going to be people that make fun of your faith. Don't forget it. See, but we know something that we want to share too. We know that the Bible, that all the scriptures that we read in that book is given by the inspiration of God. We know that it is God-breathed. We know that what He says, it's good, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What? That we may be perfect. We may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, the Scripture, it's given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Remember when God breathed into man, into the nostrils, the breath of life? When God's breath went into him, the difference between him, the difference in Adam before and after was he was a pile of dirt and then he was a human. God's breath has a way of making things alive. And just as we can read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Scriptures, what are they? The Word of God. They're quick. What does that mean? They're living. Why are they living? Because they are given by the inspiration of God. They are breathed by Him. They are told by Him. We read and go back and in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, Peter tells them again, he says that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. It wasn't just some men making up stories. These men, these holy men, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's God's words written down by men who were moved by the Holy Spirit. You have to remember that. You also have to remember the sacrifice. Now in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices. And every year of that sacrifice, look what it says in verse 3. Those sacrifices brought in remembrance again made of sins. Constantly remembering their sins. Why? Because all the blood of the bulls and goats that they did, it couldn't take the sins away. The sins could not be taken away. That's why every year they remember it. They're just trying to appease God. But when you look at Hebrews 9, verse 22, he says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There has to be a shedding of blood. Of perfect blood. And we look then in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. He says, "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may be established the second. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. It's His sacrifice. It takes away the sins of the world. Some of you just partook of. We took of it this morning. The Lord's Supper. We remember that sacrifice that He made for us. And we do it every Sunday. We remember. We put it into remember. We stir up our minds so that we will never forget what He has done for us. The sacrifice that He made for each and every one of us. That sacrifice, He says that in verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them of those days. I will put my laws." I'm going to put them in their hearts. Put them in their minds. I'm going to put my word there. So they will remember what the sacrifice. So So that their sins, their iniquities, I will remember no more. He says, where their remission now where remission of these is, there's no more offering of sin. We're not going to get we've been remitted of sins. Let's don't continue in them. We must remember that. We must remember that to have those remission of sins, we've got to repent. We've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where we get remission. That's where we get forgiveness. The remission is found in the watery grave of baptism. It's found in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's no wonder, he said, and Paul says in Romans 6, know you not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ? You're baptized into His death. We're buried with Him with baptism into His death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Our life is new because the old things are purged. It's put away because of Jesus Christ. You must remember that. The old man, that old man that we have, it's one that we crucify with Him. We put it to the cross. We don't go back to it. We don't serve sin anymore. For he that is dead, dead to the old man, dead to the old ways, that person is free from sins. You must remember this. And we have to put on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. And when we put Him on, when we put on Christ, what do we become? We become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, others should see Christ in you. Brother Bobby Adams, he told me this one thing too here, that I-A-N means something there too at the end. Because if you're not a Christian, Christ is not in you. If you're not a Christian, I want you to remember this. If you're not a Christian, that I am nothing. Without Christ, we are nothing. But with Christ, we are everything. Please remember that. Hold fast. Hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering. Whatever comes our way, whatever it may be, you hold fast to what is the anchor. And that anchor is the rock. It's Jesus Christ. That anchor is not the sand that sinks, but it's the solid rock of Jesus Christ. There may be some of you here tonight that needs some correction. There may be somebody here tonight that needs to obey the gospel. I want you to stir up your mind. I want you to remember the things that we've talked about. I want you to remember what Jesus did for you as we stand and as we sing.